The Anthill, written by Julian Pacheco and read by Anthony Ray Perez.
I wondered too, as Georges Bataille suggested, that if in the pleasure of inflicting death and torture there was also a quality of childhood, of a life unbounded by civilized properties. Aldo Civico, The Para State, An Ethnography of Colombia's Death Squads. Invisible things are not necessarily not there. A void may be empty, but not be a vacuum. Toni Morrison, Unspeakable Things Unspoken. Part 1. You. Lalo. The bus route down from the Medellin airport doesn't make you nauseous like it used to. Not like when you were last driven on it 20 years ago. An 8-year-old girl on her way to Heathrow. Now, you're 28, and the road is still one sharp curve turn after another. Past restaurants with names like Sancho Paisa, and trashy nightclubs like, Oh My Sweet Jesus. Grinning statues of machete-wielding farmers, Texaco gas station stars. Panaderia signs on every corner. Scraggly half-dead grass on the side of the highway. And down there, in the valley below, is the city. Your city. Its far-off lights lurking like tiny star clusters from a distant galaxy awaiting your arrival. When you get off the bus at the San Diego Mall, a girl in a collared shirt heaves your suitcase into the front seat of a cab, paying no mind to your apologetic warning of, Careful, it's very heavy. You overtip her out of nervousness, and she bows her head. Thank you, miss. The taxi driver gets lost and keeps refusing to go down the street you insist is correct, based on the directions saved on your phone. I really think it's this way, you say, as he turns the steering wheel in the opposite direction of where you're pointing. By the time the driver has managed to lurch your suitcase onto the pavement, a man has come out of the building. He stands at an awkward distance, arms crossed, like he doesn't want to get too close. You pay the taxi driver in exact change, and he says, Thank you, beautiful. When the taxi finally drives off, it feels like the man has been standing there an uncomfortably long time. His head is shaved close to the scalp, and he's wearing a long-sleeve white shirt that hangs past his wrists and white exercise pants with a black line running down the sides. Even his tennis shoes are white, a clean white, like they've just been purchased. He could be an assistant football coach or a sports shoe salesman. Mati? You say. But the man shakes his head. He's not here, he says. He should be back soon. But he told us you were coming. Don't worry. He left very specific instructions. Instructions? You say. That's correct. A shudder jolts through your torso, but you're able to restrain yourself. Hopefully it looks more like a twitch rather than a violent spasm. An unexpectedly chill breeze makes you grateful for your tights, impulsively purchased at the last minute from Terminal 3's Boots Pharmacy. One of the few memories you have left of Medellin, cradled close to your body, carefully, like you're carrying a basket of eggs, is the temperate weather. Welcome to the city of eternal spring. That's what the pilot said on the loudspeaker. But you don't recall Medellin being this cool in the evening. The man reaches for your suitcase. This is embarrassing, he says. But I didn't grab my keys. We'll have to knock hard and hope somebody's listening. His shirt sleeve has risen up his arm. On the back of his hand, you see what looks like scar tissue, puckered, wrinkled holes, lumpy like the bark of a tree. No problem, you say. Totally fine.